Acts chapter 17, please. Acts chapter 17. Again, thank you so much for being here this morning. Appreciate your attendance in the service today. Acts chapter 17. The story that we're reading here this morning takes place in the city of Athens. Apostle Paul walks into town and his soul is stirred because of the idolatry that is everywhere. And he stands on a place called Mars Hill and he gives a sermon. And this sermon starts in verse number 22. It says, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of our own prophets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead." Lord, I ask that this morning you would speak to our hearts. Pray, Holy Spirit, that you would do a work today that no man can do. Lord, I ask that you would clear our minds and hearts of other things, other matters, Lord, that we would focus completely on you this morning. I pray for the souls of all those that are here today. If there's one that's not trusted you as Savior today, that they would take that important step of faith before they leave here this morning. And Lord, I do ask that you would just do a work in our midst. And Lord, that you would be pleased with what we do here. I pray that you'd fill me and use me now as I speak. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever started something and not finished it? I have. I know a lot of things that I've done. Fortunately, there's a lot of things at home that you start and finish something, and you start it and you don't get it done. Have you ever eaten something and not finished your meal? No, a few people know, of course. Well, it's interesting. In this passage of Scripture, the word "all" is used several times. Notice down there, it says in verse number 22, "In all things ye are too superstitious." Verse number 24, "God made the world in all things, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands." Verse 25, "Neither is worship with men's hands. He giveth to all life and breath and all things." Verse 26, "hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on the earth." So on, five times in this passage we just read, the Bible tells us that God uses the word "all" in the passage. You see, God is a God of completion. He's a God of entirety, if you can put it that way. When he speaks of doing a job, he wants it done all the way, and he wants it done correctly, which we'll talk about here in a few minutes. But have you ever known God to do something and not finish it? Have you ever known God to hate some sins but not all of them? See, God is not a God of partial purity. He's a God of complete purity. God is not partially holy. He's not partially righteous. He's not partially just. He's not partially long-suffering. He's not partially omnipresent or partially omnipotent or partially omniscient. God is completely those things because He is a God of completion. He is a God of everything or everybody. You see, the word all is important in God's economy. And when God says the word all, He means all. So in other words, you could say all means all. I know that's a very basic concept, but that's when God says that, that's what He's talking about. Now, let's just take the word all. In our English language, it's a very small word, three letters, A-L-L. All is not intended to be complicated. It's not intended to go, does it mean all, or does it just mean all? It's not a matter of, we don't look at it and say, it depends on what the meaning of the word is. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, all means all. All means everything. Some words are so big you can't pronounce them. Now, in other languages, the word all is a little bit bigger than the word all in our language. I know that. But it doesn't mean anything that's ambiguous. People don't look at all and say, does it really mean everything? Well, yeah, that's what all means. There's other terms that it means, or you could use as terms that describe it, synonyms. Everything, everybody, or anyone. In the Bible, the word whosoever is used to include all. Whatsoever includes all. The world sometimes is used to describe all of mankind. You see, the word means the whole thing. It doesn't mean something or some part of it. All means all. It doesn't mean some or most. It means all. It doesn't mean a lot or almost all of it. It means all. You say, well, what's your point? Why is this such a big deal? Well, this is what the Word of God is talking about here in this passage. God wants us to understand all people are important to the Lord. Notice it says down there in verse number 26, He hath made of one blood all nations for men to dwell on all the face of the earth and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. I want to just talk about a couple things with this word all, I think, and draw a conclusion. Why is it such a big deal? First of all, because God made all people. God made everybody. He is the creator of all men and women. Look at verse number 24. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in the temples made with hands. God made everything. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Isaiah 45:12. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. Malachi chapter 2, verse 10, have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Ephesians 3:9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:16, for by Him were all things created, visible and invisible, that are in heaven and in earth, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. God made each and every person. God made everything that's in the world today. When He made us, He made us the way that we are. He made us with our parents. He made us with the gender that we have. He made us with the hair or lack thereof. He made us with our personality, with our abilities, with our talents, with our heart, with our skin, and with our race, our ethnic background. God made us the way we are. He made all of us. He put us in the country that we live in, with the parents that we have, with the class and the status that we have. People like to change that or attempt to do so in some ways, but it doesn't change who we are, and it doesn't change the way that God made us. It's also interesting to me is that we all came from the same two people. We talked about this last week a little bit. Genesis chapter 3, verse 20 says, "And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living." Now, if you remember, Adam did not originally call Eve, Eve. Do you remember what Adam originally called Eve? Anybody remember? Just yell at me. Woman, that's correct. He didn't call her Eve, he called her woman because she was made of a man. But he changed her name to Eve, which means the mother of all living. Well, that's interesting to me. Why? Because all of us then come from the same two parents. All the genealogies in the Bible, if you were to follow them back, end up at Adam and Eve. We all come from the same parents, and there's no difference in us with our skin color and things like that because we're all from the same parents. We know that. Luke chapter 3 gives us a genealogy of Jesus in reverse order, and it ends by saying, Luke chapter 3, verse 38, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Romans 5, 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We are all created and made. We came from the same two people. But you know, we're also created for a purpose. God made us for a reason. We're all created for Him. When God looks at us, He does not see us in different lights as perhaps we see as people. He doesn't see races and ethnicities and colors or even nationalities, though He knows all of that because He made all of us. He sees us as His creation, all of us as His creation, created for a specific purpose, and that was for His honor and His glory. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." Down there in verse number 27, or verse 26, "Hath made of one blood all nation of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitations, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us." Revelation 7, verse 9 says, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands." You know, when we get to heaven someday, we're not going to be interested in the things that we're interested in here on earth. Did you know that? We're not going to look around and say, "You're from that country, aren't you? You're from that nationality. You have that race, that ethnicity." We're going to get to heaven. The things that we're going to be interested in is really only one thing in particular. And that is, we're going to be interested in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Because that's why we're there. All those other things won't be important anymore. The things that we focus on today, the things that we get excited about, interested in, even angry about, those things won't have anything to do with anything when we get to heaven, because we're going to be thinking about Jesus Christ and focusing our efforts and our love and our worship on Him and Him alone. You see, on earth we spend a lot of time focused on ourselves, and we fail to remember who made us and why He made us. He made us so we seek after Him, so that we find Him, so that we have pleasure, or so that we give Him pleasure, not us, but Him. We're created to please Him. That means then, secondly, that God knows and He loves all people. Look at 28, verse 27, "that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of our own poets have said, for we are also His offspring." Every person is special to God. The Bible says down here that we are in Him. We are all His offspring. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Matthew 10:29, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Romans 8:38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm not very worthy. As a person, I can probably say that I'm pretty forgettable. But you know what? God doesn't forget about me. God knows me. God knows every single thing about me. While I could meet somebody and forget them that very day, God never forgets them. There are people who are dead and gone and their lives are in the past. God knows who they are. God remembers them. There will be people who are born in obscurity, perhaps in another part of the world, the jungles, or places where people will never, those people will never leave those little villages. But you know what? God knows each and every one of them. God cares about each and every one of them. So not only does God, is every person special to the Lord, but you know, God thinks about people. Not only does He know them, not only does He know their name, the very hairs of their head are all numbered. He knows where they are and what they're doing. He knows their thoughts, but He also thinks about those people. He thinks about you and He thinks about me. Psalm 40, verse 17, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 28, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. 7 billion people, 7.8, I don't remember the exact number, 7.6 to 8, something like that, billion people in the world today. And yet, God knows my name. God knows your name. God knows where I am. God knows my needs. God knows everything about me, and He's concerned about me. He wants to make sure that I have what I need. He wants to make sure that I can put food on my table today, not just for me, but for my family. God wants to make sure that I can get where I need to go. God makes sure that I have the exact amount of money that I need to pay bills and other things like that. And not only that, He does the same thing for you. There are people today that say, I don't even know if God cares about me anymore. I don't know if God has forgotten about me or even thinks about me. Let me tell you, He does. It may seem like He's a little distant. It may seem like there's a reason for you to say that God has forgotten about you, but I can guarantee you God hasn't. God knows everything about you. God knows what your problems are. God knows your needs, and He wants to help. It's amazing to me that God can know all my problems and know all yours too, and know all the problems of 7 billion people in the world. That blows my mind. But it's true. It's incredible to think that he knows every other person. Doesn't just know their name, but knows every single thing about them. Do you know God knows more about you than you do? Let me ask you, can you remember what happened 479 days ago? Where you were 479 days ago? God can. Can you remember what the last thing was that you did perhaps when you were 5 years old? I can't. I don't even remember if I was 5 years old. I think I was. But that was a long time ago. Can you remember just, do you know how much money you've had in your hands since you started the day that you were born? No, but God does. Do you know how much money you're going to have between now and the end of your life? No, but God does. You see, all of these things, God knows. God knows it not just for me, but God knows it for you. And God knows it for every single person in the world. God knows how you're going to die. God knows when you're going to die. God knows how many years of your life that you're going to have. God knows all of those things. Why? Because God cares about you. He's concerned about you. But also, thirdly, God loves everybody. Not only does he know me because he made me, not only is he concerned about me, but God loves me. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. John chapter 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. John 14:21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. Ephesians 5:2, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us. I just read that one. Verse 25 of chapter 5, Ephesians, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. 2 Thessalonians 2:16, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. This concept means that God loves every single person in the world. Doesn't matter how bad we are. Doesn't matter where we come from. Doesn't matter who our parents are. God loves all of us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, here is love of God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. 1 John 4:19. We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. You know, this may turn people, make them upset. But you know, in this case, all means all. God loves everybody. That means God loves and has loved every single person in the world from the beginning of time. The person that has ever lived and ever will live. God loves every single person. We may find that hard to believe or even accept, but it's still true. It is. God loves the innocent child, the crippled, the blind, the deaf, and the dumb, the mean, the diseased, and the unborn child. God loves them all. God loves the sweet, the caring, the loving, the unkind, the ugly, the downright wicked person. God loves them too. God loves the faithful, the dedicated, the consecrated, as well as the infidel, the blasphemer, the fornicator, the unclean, the adulterer, the murderer, the thief, the rioter, and the looter. God loves them all. God loves the poor, the rich, and the middle class. God loves the factory worker. He loves the insurance salesman, the car dealer, the CEO, the accountant, the clerk, the park ranger, the police officer, the soldier, and the politician. God loves them all. God loves the citizen. He loves the government worker, the bureaucrat, the state representative, the state senator, the governor, the U.S. congressman or the woman, or the U.S. senator, the president, his cabinet, the judges on the courts, the criminal, the law-abiding citizen, the dictator, and the ruthless evil despot. God loves them all. God loves the red, the yellow, the black, the brown, the white. God loves the sick, the healthy, the downtrodden, the widow, the married, the single, the orphan, the loving, and the unloving. God loves everybody. God loves us all. But you know, no greater way is that demonstrated for us than how God died for all. Again, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Romans 5, verse 6 and verse 8, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. You know how many people are considered to be ungodly? Everybody, all people. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for everybody. Well, why did Christ die for everybody? Well, Christ died for the sins of the world. That means then God can't let sin into heaven because it is a perfect place. If he lets us in on our own merit, then we would bring sin in. So he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for the sins of the world. Did you know everybody is a sinner? The Bible says that Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so then death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Everybody sinned. Sin is breaking God's law, the transgression of the law, the Bible says. That's what it is. You lie, you cheat, you steal, you murder, you take from somebody else. Anything that you do, you break God's commandment, you are guilty of sin, and everybody is. Since everyone has sinned, that means everyone has broken God's law, and that means that somebody has to pay the penalty for that sin. There is a consequence for our sin, for the wages of sin is death. So we have to pay for the punishment of our sin. But Jesus came and he died on the cross for the sins of the whole world so that we can have eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5:19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Romans 10:9 through 13 tells us how many people can have eternal life. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13 says this, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know whosoever includes? All. It includes everybody. It includes every single person that's ever lived on the face of the planet. That includes all men, women, and children. That includes good people and bad people. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God died for everyone, so that all people could be saved. Speaking to somebody a little while ago, talking to them about salvation. And they said, well, you know what? That's something I think I need to do, but I'll take care of that right before I die. And I said, you know, you're not guaranteed another day. Can I tell you what the Bible says is the time that somebody should get saved? And he said, sure, go ahead. I said, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. I said, God wants you to be saved right now. Because you're not guaranteed another day. There are a lot of people that put it off. They put salvation. They say, no, I don't need to do that right now. Listen, you're not guaranteed to make it home today. You're not guaranteed to finish the service. That's why salvation is available, and it's available right now, and it's something that you should do right now. God's gift is there. It's available, and you can have eternal life. It's available for everybody. Christ died for everybody so that all could be saved. Now, we talk about being saved. We talk about being saved from our sin. We talk about being saved from the punishment from our sin, which is death and hell. Jesus came and he died on the cross for the sins of the world so that we can have eternal life. That means then that he's the only one I can trust in for salvation. If I put my faith and trust in him to save me, the Bible says that I can be saved. I can have eternal life. I can spend a home in heaven with him for all eternity. If God loves everyone, if God is concerned about every single person in the world, if he died for everybody, then shouldn't we be concerned about them too? Well, you know, that's what the Bible tells us. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 says, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Not only should we make disciples of everybody, but we should also help them, bring them along so that they can also be a Christian that God wants them to be. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. See, Jesus died for all of those people. You know, if somebody in the world doesn't hear, that's not God's fault. God has made available salvation. But you know, he has called us to fulfill the job of taking the gospel to them. I know we can't be everywhere at one time. I understand that. But you know, we can certainly do our part here in Deltona. We can do our part in the state of Florida. We can do our part as a church to send others to the world to share the gospel with people. I know it's hard for us as a church to reach 7 billion people, but God commanded us to do it. He said, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. If God says we can do it, we can. He can enable us to go to the uttermost part of the earth and reach everybody. You see, it happens by us starting with one individual, like Project One, one individual. And then we reach two people, and then we reach four people, and then those people reach eight people, and then those people reach, they just keep doubling and doubling and doubling. And pretty soon, before you know it, you have 7.5 billion people. It wouldn't really take us that long if we got busy doing what God wants us to do. Why? Because all means all. We face challenging times. But I want us to put all that aside, and I want us to think about the fact that Jesus Christ loves everybody. The fact that Jesus Christ died for everybody. The fact that he wants all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I want us to think about our role in reaching all people. We certainly have an important job to do, and we can do it with God's help. But we need to start by thinking, you know what? All means all. Doesn't matter where they're from. Doesn't matter who they are. God died for those people, and he wants those people to be saved. You know, we have the truth. We have it in our hands, and we need to share it with them because God loved them and he died for them. Let's bow our heads in prayer. I ask a couple questions this morning. Who would say, God's speaking to me about this matter of all? I see that I've been selfish in my thinking about people. I understand that God wants all men to be saved, that God loves every single person in the world. God convicting me this morning about this matter of all. Would you please pray for me? If that's you, would you slip your hand up? You like that this morning? Anybody like that this morning, you'd say, I understand all means all. God's speaking to me today. Okay? Hands down, who would say, I need to be telling people about the Lord. I've been slacking off in my witness, and God's dealing with me about that this morning. Would you pray for me? If that's you, would you slip your hand? Okay, good. Thank you. Hands down. Last question. Who would say, you know, you talked about this matter of being saved. I'm not sure that if I were to die right now, I'd go to heaven. I see God loves me, and God wants me to have eternal life with him. And I want to be saved. I want to spend eternity with Jesus Christ forever. I want to be interested in him forever. Put all these things aside and think about Jesus Christ forever. But I don't think there's ever been a time where I put my trust in Jesus Christ to save me from my sins. I'm not sure that if I were to die right now, I'd go to heaven. But I'm concerned about that. You know, I'm not going to point you out, call your name, or embarrass you in any way, but I will pray for you. There's somebody like that this morning. Would you just, by upraised hand, say, you know what? I'm not sure that if I were to die right now, I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about my soul, concerned about salvation and where I spend eternity. And God's speaking to me this morning. Would you pray for me? If that's you, would you slip your hand up? Anybody like that this morning? Just raise your hand. Just slip it up and slip it down. Anybody? Slip it up high so I can see it. Anybody like that this morning? In just a minute, we'll have a song of invitation. I'll pray and then we'll sing. Or we'll stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed, let the piano play for us. If the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to your heart this morning, would you come and do business with the Lord today? Whatever it is that God's dealing with you about, whatever it is he's spoken directly to you about, would you come and do business with God this morning? If you need to be saved, I'll be standing down here in front. I'll be happy to greet you. If you're a man, I'll put you with a man, a lady with a lady, and they'll show you what you need to do in order to go to heaven. Whatever it is God's speaking to you about this morning, would you do business with God today? Let's pray together. Lord, help us in this invitation time that we would respond obediently to you. Lord, I pray that we would not put aside or put to the back burner this matter of salvation, or even, Lord, the salvation of other people. Help us to be obedient even as you speak to us in this invitation time. Lord, would you do the work you want to in Jesus' name?